Just going to review before we start just a little bit. So so we're doing Hachovel, and we're going to do the Kanase Boshes. But first, just so that we know, we spent a lot of time in Boshes, and that comes from Pei Gimel Amud Beis, from the Mishnah. And of course, the Mishnah tells us that when you assault someone, the ramifications of the assault require restitution in the form of paying damages for Nezek, which essentially is degraded hardware. So I beat you up and you break your arm, and that you're no longer functional in the way that you were. So I owe you money for the degradation in your hardware, and that the shuma for that is Eved Nimker V'Shuk. That's, you know, we pretend like we're selling you, and whatever the value is now and the value was before, the difference is the Nezek. The tsar is the pain of the injury, and the shuma for that is sort of complicated, but let's say it has something to do with how much would it cost to get you to be interested in withstanding pain like that. So this really hurt. Could I pay you $50 to go through something like that? Refoy is the doctor bill, and it also is a form of healthcare. Back then was a painful experience, so there's some amount of tsar in the refoy probably, but technically, it's paying for the healthcare bill. Sheves is the convalescence, and the Mishnah tells us we're chayiv in boshes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say much about boshes, but midiraisa, the Mishnah says, how do we do the shuma? So the central dogma.
What does convalescence mean?
Convalescence means you're off. Like, you ever see the Aflac commercial?
Off work.
Yeah, you're off work for a couple weeks, so I got to pay for your lost wages. Maybe I pay generically for what anybody would be qualified to do, or if you're some sort of fancy guy, maybe I pay for your lost wages, and there are a lot of different opinions about that, but I certainly pay something for you not being able to work. So the Mishnah tells us that boshes hakol lefi amivayish v'amitzvayish. It's a little cryptic, but it just says that by boshes, you're chayev everything according to the person that does the chavala, the mavayish, and the person that's embarrassed. So there's two variables there. So Rashi says, and the Mishnah Pei Gimel Amud Beis, hakol lefi hamavayish. So Rashi says, adam kal shebiyesh bashto meruba. So someone who is, let's say, less formidable on the social scale, so the boshes that they inflict with any given chavala is going to be considered more. And this has to do with holding two people in relief. It doesn't have to do so much with the absolute value of any individual, but the dyad is what's important. So if you have an Adam Kal and he is Mavayish someone, we look at the Mavayish, but also the Mitzvayish. So now Rashi says, Adam Choshev Shinizvayish Bashto Meruba. So here, there's a floor effect kind of and a ceiling effect. So the biggest injury that would be incurred by boshes would be if you had an Adam Kal who is Choval and an Adam Choshev. And obviously the converse or the inverse would be true in the opposite direction. If you had someone who was an Adam Kal and someone who was very Choshev, like if the President of the United States assaulted a homeless guy, so we'd say that the boshes there for the homeless guy isn't that much. But if the homeless guy assaulted Donald Trump, we'd say, well, the boshes there is a whole lot. Okay, so it has to do with the discrepancy between the integrity of the person who is being assaulted and the person who's doing the assault. So Rashi makes it clear, and the sugya spent a lot of time with this, that kulo chamisha devarim mikra nafki, that every one of these things is from a pasuk midiraisa. So Nezek, Tsar, Refoy, Sheves, Boshes, everything has a source, midiraisa. So Rashi says, Nezek, Dichsiv, Ayin, Tachas, Ayin, everybody knows that. Tsar, Petza, Tachas, Patza. He says, Dachi, Darshin, Begemara, Refoy, Vesheves, Rak, Shivto, Yiten, Verapo, Yerape, right? And Boshes, Dichsiv, Vekitsusa, Es, Kappa. And that's Mammon, Rashi says. So what does the Pasuk say by Boshes? The Pasuk says where... the pasuk says, "Ki yinatzu anashim yachdav ish va'akiv v'karva eshes ha'echad lahatzos es isha miyad makehu v'shalka yada v'achziku bim v'shav. That what happens is the woman tries to protect her husband and attacks someone who is assaulting her husband. And so doing, when she attacks him, that's very embarrassing. She would, let's say she'd be considered the kal there. So the next pasuk tells you, the next pasuk says, v'kitzoses kappa. Yeah, but obviously it doesn't mean that. It means mama. So the Torah says you cut off her hand. But, so the Chumash says you cut off your hand. But the Torah Sheval Pez says you pay money. Okay, so the money you pay is boshes. So it's a, I guess the important thing there is to understand that the central dogma of boshes is that there's no fixed value for any busha, and the shuma is determined by reconciling two variables, the mevayish and the misvayish. So you look at the chavala, obviously, and then you look at two variables. Who was the chovel and who was the nichval? And the beis din comes up with how much you pay. Now, the way that we have learned that sugya has been that this has to do not with an internal experience of the mizvayish, but it has to do, it's really an idea in mamonis that, and it's important for what we're going to do next, but the principle has been that boshesh is a matter of, just like nezek is a matter of mamon, and just like refoid, shevis are a matter of mamon, boshesh is a matter of mamon also, because everybody in a social hierarchy has some brand that influences their earning capacity, that influences their worth. It's true in any culture. And so the idea of boshes is an idea of what type of injury there was to your economic footprint from who you were in the community. So it's not that you're paying them for some sophisticated form of tsar. It's that you're paying them for injuring their reputation in some way. But it's a mumminous concept. It's not a tsar concept. And that's important because the shuma then has to do with reconciling where the two people are on the social hierarchy so that you can come up with a place with it establishing some sort of estimation of what the injury was to the mivayish, to the misvayish. Yes, so tsar is the tashlum in this moment. Obviously tsar is an experience, tsar is pain. But what I was saying was that boshes is monetary. So boshes is a tashlumen for a moment. That's what Rashi says, it's mamon. Tsar, yes. Tsar is, and we, when we did the tsar sugya, we dealt with how that was much different than every other ramification of a chavala. Yes, tsar is uniquely the experience of the pain.
Dr. Kabul?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I think that's probably a little bit culturally dependent, but the concept is that there's something that is overcome when a homeless guy... So if the social hierarchy is respected, the homeless guy will have a larger disincentive to jumping that. And this is probably more... This is probably true in more class-based societies than we're used to thinking about, but there is a natural disincentive, certainly in aristocracies, and where you had courtiers and you had a real rigid social class. But even still now, I think it's true that, you know, that who embarrasses you is worse if you think less of them. I think you could imagine cases where, yeah, if someone has a very big public profile, it's certainly going to become more public if they do something to you. Whether it's more embarrassing, I mean, it's hard to argue the concept. The data we have is this is how they considered it. I imagine it's a little bit culturally dependent, and I imagine it's because there is a greater hurdle when someone is overcoming a social rank to commit an assault. That's the idea. I mean, whether you would still consider it in terms of brand today if you were assaulted by... Well, I don't know. I guess it would be similar. Like, you know, if Justin Bieber slapped you, you might get a lot of cool points on social media for that. But if somebody else that, you know, wasn't really well known or was some other way kind of regarded as someone that should be afraid of you did that, you'd probably lose some. Do you know what I mean?
So then again, is Boshev then an internal interpretation of the events that transpired, or is that, as you said before, like objective, so to speak, societal?
I just think it's a brand thing. It's like when Michael Phelps smoked pot, he lost money on his, they didn't, you know, he lost some amount of personal capital with the public. His brand was injured. So there is some form of a brand in any economy, and certainly in the economies that the Gemara is describing, where these were very closed, small economic circles, that was probably more important than maybe what it is now. But it's not, I wouldn't call it subjective or objective, I just call it economic. So that was Boshes up until now. I mean, I think you were even here when we did that.
Yeah, a year and a half ago, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a long time ago. And so we haven't visited Boshes till then. So that's the backdrop for starting this Mishnah. So with that in mind, the Mishnah we're starting has nothing to do with that. The Mishnah we're starting is Tzadi Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, Hatokea lechavero nosen lo sela. So if you hit your friend, you pay him a sela, which I guess we're going to, I mean, that's like half a zuz. Okay, so it's not that much if it's a sela medina, let's say.
Okay, I mean, you blow into his ear.
Well, see the Rashi. So it's kind of a two ways to learn that. But let's just say you hit him, because I think most people take this to be a hit. Because the problem with blowing into the ear is the obvious problem that you haven't really done anything to him. There's no what?
There's no chabala.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there are different ways to think about that, but, and that's a sugya too.
There's like a,
yeah, I mean, I don't think they're talking about this, okay, that fine. Here. And they favorite might not fine. Have had such a good sense of that. Okay, so. Well, what they had was this, the following concept, because they had that, but what they had was there's a sugya like that where, if you hit someone in the ear, they'll have a tipas dam in their ear and they won't be able to hear. They didn't have an eardrum sense. They didn't know how the acoustics work. They didn't know oral acoustics with an A, oral. But they understood that an injury could deafen someone, but they didn't think of it as an eardrum problem. They thought of it, everything they thought of as kind of a tipas dam here or there problem. Okay, so, but if you hit him or make a loud noise in his ear, but mostly hit him, you pay this sela. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Galili Monet. So he says, no, it's a lot more than that. It's like maybe somewhere between 12 and a half zuz and 100 zuz, depending on whether this is, you know, Monet Medina, Monet Tzuri. It's something substantially more than what the Tanakhama was saying. So then the Mishnah says, Staro Nosen Lo Masayim Zuz. And if you, so let's say you don't hit him, but you like slap him, so then it's 200 zuz. La'achar yado, so let's say you backhand him. So the Mishnah says, nosen lo arba meo zuz. Sarem ba'azno, talesh besaro, rakak ve'giabo ruko, havir taliso mimenu, para rosh ha'isha b'shuk, nosen lo, or la, I guess depending, arba meo zuz. So if you drag his ear, we'll see the Rashis, if you drag him by the ear, or maybe notch his ear, do something to his ear, or pull his hair, or spit on him where the spit actually hits him, or you strip his talus off of him, or you denude a woman of her hair covering, so then you pay the full monty of these fixed benefits, which in this case is 400 zuz, which seems to be as high as these things go.
How are you objectifying this if it's all according to the people?
Say again?
How are you objectifying this if it's according to the particular case?
I agree with that. Yes and yes. So Rashi says, Hatokeya lechavero, hikahu alazno, lashon mori, that's the first way. Lashon acher tokeya mamish. So Rashi says, could be like I say, and could be like Ezra says. Noson lo sela, mishum boshes, Rashi says. So there we go. So all these things are mishum boshes. So Rashi says, staro, al alechi, kamo hasoter lo shel yisrael. So it's like you slap him in the cheek. Like, you know, like slapping the chin, I guess, of the jaw of Yisrael. I don't know what that's from. Yep. Tsaram, Rashi says, Mashach, right? So I drag you by the ear, like from a 50s sitcom. Uvachoros, Shemati Lashon Pogam. I think that means notching the ear. I don't think it means sullying the ear. So I think it means like some notch on the ear, but it's hard to understand exactly. So then the Mishnah says, Zeh HaKlal. Hakol lefi kvodo. So that was your thing. Your thing was, well, wait a second. Doesn't this go by who it happens to?
Right.
So what does it mean, Zeh HaKlal Hakol lefi kvodo? But Gemara mefarsh kulahi o chumra. So the Gemara is going to explain, well, are these values getting upcharged, or are they getting attenuated? So the Gemara is going
to
deal with that.
It's either giving a baseline or a max limit to the bandwidth?
So it's either a ceiling or a floor. Hakol lefi kvodo.
I guess you have to have some standard to base everything off relatively.
Well, if you want to start with a fixed value, it can't be relative, or you're not going to have a fixed.
Right, you need to base all the other relative values.
Yeah, so this could either be a ceiling or a floor. All right, So then the Mishnah says, Amar Rav Akiva, Afilu Niyam Shebi Yisrael, Rono Sam Kilu Ham Bnei Chorin Sheyardu Menechseihem, Sham Bnei Avram Yitzchak VeYaakov. This is something that's been said before in a Braisa about, Pei Vav Amid Aleph. This language that everybody is seen as if they are bnei charon shiyardu, people down on their luck, like even aniyim are good souls, so we should treat them the same. So we should treat nani the same; they shouldn't get any less. So then, the Gemara says to bolster that proclamation. It says, Umaisa be'echad shepar rosh ha'isha b'shuk. Balsafnei Rabbi Akiva. So this guy exposed this woman's hair in the shuk, and they brought him to Rabbi Akiva. V'chibu liten la, or maybe la and lo together, like her and her husband, arba me'o zuz. So they said, okay, you got to pay the 400 zuz that we talked about earlier in the Mishnah. Amar lo, Rabbi, ten lizman, said, Rabbi, give me a little time here. Venosin Lozman. He said, all right, what do you got? So Shmaro Medes al Pesach Hatzera, Veshavras Kad Befaneha, Uboki Iser Shemen. He said, he set up a sting. And the sting was, he knew this lady really liked fine oils. So he watched her, and he broke this Kad of Shemen in front of her domicile. And lo and behold, no one was looking except the Adam, but she didn't know that. Gilsa es Rosha, v'haisa metapeches umanachas yada al Rosha. She like scooped it up with her hands and used her hair. I mean, because how are you going to hold the oil, right? The cot is broken, but your hair has you know lots. It can retain probably a lot of oil, and then you can wring it out later. And I guess it's an Isar Shemen. That's not nothing. So he did that. So Amid Aleha Adam, and there were Adam there. Ubalifnei Rabbi Akiva, so he brought them and he said, look, you wanted to say this lady is, now we're going to see when we read the Gemara a little bit, the lady was an Aniya. I mean, the point here is that Rabbi Akiva was saying you have to treat her. She gets the 400 zuz even though Hakol Lefi Kvodo, right? So Hakol Lefi Kvodo, the implication would be that since she's not such a chashuva, so he should have to pay less.
Why can't we just say 400 is the baseline? You can only go higher?
Well, so the Gemara is going to deal with that. The Gemara is going to logic why that's impossible. This has to be Lakula. And from this case, the Gemara says, if you want to sleuth it yourself, you can. But the Gemara says, from this case, it's clear that the 400 zuz was a kula. I mean, from this itself, and you'll see that.
The zeh klal is a kula.
Yeah, the zeh klal is a kula. Because Rav Akiva says, listen, you have to pay 400. The guy wants to pay less than 400, right? Rav Akiva wants him to pay the 400. Rav Akiva is the guy that says everybody should get the same. So this guy's saying, I want to pay less. He's kind of sounding like the Tanakhama. Rav Akiva is saying, no, you can't pay less. You're going to have to pay what everybody pays. And then he says, well, what about this? She's not really someone who's so embarrassed by this. I can prove it. So he goes and he breaks this kad, and then sure enough, she doesn't care about her hair so much. So why is he paying all this money to this lady who's going to be embarrassed by uncovering her hair when she does it herself?
Does she know people are around?
No. What's that?
Seems like...
That's a good point. He wasn't saying how much he wanted to pay. He just wanted a break.
No, he's saying, so it should come out, though, that he's not paying not 400. And he should just completely get rid of the pay to pay at all.
Yeah, I think that what Ariel is saying, though, is that, you know, she didn't just go to the shuk and uncover her hair. She usually covers her hair. She just has a price. So, like, and she didn't... Like, I'm assuming that the fact that they staked her out, she wasn't so sure people were watching. So I imagine she's not as embarrassed as she should be, and maybe he wanted a break, but it's not so clear. I mean, his argument is that this should be taken as a factor in charging him. And we'll get to this when we do this Gemara. It's not so important for tonight, but yes, there's a lot of problems with the negotiation and the answer of Rabbi Kiva. So here's his answer. Amar lo, and tell me if this is not oracular. He says...
Oracular?
Yeah.
Lezo... No, he says definition of the word.
Like an oracle without clear understanding of... He says, so the guy says, Lezo ani nosen arbamea zuz, I'm paying to this 400 zuz. Sounds like a movie. That's really what the Mishnah says, though. So Rabbi Kiva says, Amar lo, lo amar tuklum, you haven't said anything. This is the oracular part. You have not spoken. Hachovu ba'atzma fopisha eno rishoy, potter. If you're chovel yourself, even though you're not allowed, you're potter. Now, it doesn't really mean chovel yourself, because obviously, what would it mean chayev? Chayev malchus? Maybe. But you can't be chayev mamun to yourself, so it can't mean that. So the Gemara will deal with that too. Huh?
Gevestin, I don't know.
For, you mean to be loka?
Or you get either malchus or gevestin money, I don't know.
Oh no, like you have to be, I mean, I don't know, you know, the whole idea is that of tashlume Chavala is that there's a hefsid. I don't think you could be the mafsid and the person that... I mean, I don't know. I imagine that that's just not something that would ever be entertained here. But I think that it comes out in this sugya anyway, what you'd be chayav for being chovel yourself is bal tashkas. We can get to it when we get to it. But acherim shechavlu bo chayavim. But nonetheless, even though you can't do it, of course someone does it to you, they're chayav. V'akotes netiyasav afal pishen or shoy potter acherim chayavim. Gemara submission, I just threw that in too. So Baal Tashkas, you're not supposed to cut down your own stuff, but if you did, you're putter because you're using it for food. You're not really chayav there. It's talking about the Malkus for sure. Someone else who comes on your property and does it is chayav. So Rabbi Kiva, in this very strange way, says, you can't make an induction from what she did to herself or an induction to tell me what would be the halacha, because she is someone that would do this to herself, doesn't mean when someone else does it to her, it's the same thing.
It's an odd point about Rabbi Akiva, though.
It's an odd way to express it, and we'll get to it when we get to it.
We're not saying the fact that she did it is the patur for me doing it to her. We're saying the fact she did it to herself shows I didn't do anything to her.
What he's saying is you can't draw any conclusions. He's saying what she does to herself doesn't help you, because what someone does to themselves doesn't really have any impact on your obligation to them when you do it to them. So even if they do it to themselves when they're not allowed, doesn't mean that when you do it to them, you're putter in the same way that they're putter when they do it to themselves.
There's an assumption that the patur here is not just a technicality.
The idea is that the patur here is money.
Yeah.
not a technicality, though.
What do you mean by that?
Like, it's if I do something to myself, there's two reasons I can be potter. I can be potter because I just can't pay myself.
Oh, no. This isn't. So that's what I'm saying. That's why it's sort of a waste of time to try to disentangle this riddle now, because you have no empirical data to support what the Gemara is talking about when it says potter. And it turns out it's not talking about mumlin at all. So if we do this, we're not going to help ourselves. We're not going to go anywhere. The point for tonight is just to say that Rabbi Akiva dismissed this. Okay? So the guy didn't... And the only reason it matters for tonight is because we can draw a conclusion about the Kula Lachumra in terms of Hakol Lefi Kvodo. It's not going to help us tonight in terms of the argument that Rabbi Akiva makes. The argument that he makes is probably going to take us a very long time to understand. But what we're going to do with this is we're going to take a look at the Gemara that draws a logical inference from this exchange to determine what Hakol Lefi Kvodo means.
And where are we saying that we look at any of that there are, you know, B'nai Chor, is that saying he doesn't hold the Kvodo at all? Mm-hmm. Does he equate everyone? Or just
everyone.
Or he says that they are B'nai Chor, but they're the low end of
B'nai. Everybody's the same. Kulin Shavim.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. We don't see the thing with the thing that you have to understand is that the Gemara uses this language of Ani and Usher at the extremes to give you a sense of what the values are, but it's all graduated. It's not just that the Ani is one thing and everybody else is something else. It's just a sliding scale. So the sliding scale would include anybody. Rabbi Akiva says everybody's the same. And if you really want to know, I mean, if you want to have a sense, I mean, there are different ways, there are different ontologies in terms of understanding what the arguments are here. One is a very economic argument that I'm making, but there are other more spiritual arguments about what's happening. So there's like a if you look at the if you look in the Lakute Mishnah, he brings down a shita, and I forget who it is. Or if you look in the Torah Chaim, they have the idea is that the question is what field the machlokus is a question of what is margish. What part of you feels boshes? Is it your nefesh habahamis, or is it your nefesh elokis? So the question is: is the nefesh habahamis come from the nefesh elokis really in a Jew? So then, even someone who is super downtrodden will have the same experience of boshes. Or is it a separate? Does that come from the Aretz? So it is a very physical thing. Meaning, and this is how the Torah Chaim says it. Oh, is this a tsar guf? Is the boshes here a tsar guf? So if it's a tsar guf, so then it really does depend on the guf, and that may have something to do with where this person is at materially, physically. But if it's something to the neshama, then everybody has the same one. So that's one way to unpackage this.
All right.
From the economic, from the more mechanical perspective, it would have more to do with the discrepancy, with what's happening in terms of the boshes itself, not in terms of where the boshes is located in the neshama.
Just to clarify, in terms of what we said before
So the question is, what we said before in Rashi, Hakol Lefi Amivayis VaMitzvayis, it's not Rashi, it's the Mishnah, and it's Kuliyamalo Pligi that this is a fact, that's a central dogma of Boshes. Hakol Lefi Amivayis VaMitzvayis.
How could it be potentially homeless?
Yes. So the central dogma is it's always Hakol Lefi Amivayis VaMitzvayis. So how could, it's not, the problem isn't just with Rabbi Akiva, obviously, the problem is with the whole Mishnah.
Why?
It is.
That's prices. Huh?
If you say, I mean, if you answer up like we did, then it's just setting a baseline.
Well, what's missing from this? What's the lacoon here? Okay. Let's do the Gemara. Let's do Tzadi Aleph Amid Aleph. And then we'll do it. What's that? How do you determine what the price value is of the what?
The Mevayish and the Mitzvayish.
Okay. Okay, well, I think that you're asking sort of the same question I'm asking. It's an issue of, like, if this were math, if you have one variable and everything else is a number, you could solve for the variable. But there's a problem here with how many variables you have here versus how many variables you had in Pei Gimel in the Mishnah. But let me hold off on that for 1 second.
That's fine. It's only the guy.
Yeah. So, but let's do the Gemara in Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, and it's a strange Gemara because this doesn't feel like it should be a Gemara. This feels like it should be an Achron writing about the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Hakol lefi kvodo.
Where is this?
This is Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph at the. We're going to do the other Gemaras in between, but the problem with the whole sugya. Is that it's not arranged so that the Mishnah is explicated in a sugya in the Gemara. What happens is the Mishnah just has these propositions and then spread out through Bava Kamma are allusions to this Mishnah with small pieces of data. And so you have to sort of collect them if you want to reconcile the Mishnah. There's no like, what is this, you know, there's no Gemara that says, what does it mean that you pay a sella? What's the case? What happened? Oh, this happened here. There's nothing like that. But there are a couple cases in Bava Kamma which are directly related to this that we're going to have to collect so that we can understand what's happening. So this is a matter of being really good phenomenologists and trying to avoid speculative reason until we have a lot of information. I mean, we can gather the questions, but the phenomenology is key to this. Otherwise, it's a worthless thing. So the Gemara says Hakol lefi kvodo. So the Gemara says Iboy lehu. Tana kama lekula kaamar lechumra kama. That's exactly what Rashi says. So wait a second. So when the Tana kama says Hakol lefi kvodo, and let's say you get a sella for hitting someone in the face, is that sella for the usher, and then everybody else gets something less all the way down to the ani, or is that sella for the ani, and then everybody else gets something more? So lechumra would be that everybody gets something more, right? Lechumra would be it's talking about an ani, and then everybody else gets something more. And lekula is it's talking about an usher, and everybody gets something less. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says lekula ka'amar. It's definitely talking about an usher, and this is lekula. The ika ani de lo boy le mishko kulihai, because there's an ani. That you wouldn't have to pay, and to me this is all not exactly ani and usher, but it's graduated. So of course on the other side of that, there's an ani that you wouldn't have to pay that much, right? So the usher you pay the most, the ani you pay the least. O dilma lechumra ka'amar, the ika usher deboy lemesiv leitfei. So maybe there's an usher that you'd have to pay. Maybe this is really talking about lechumra, and this is talking about an ani, but an usher you'd have to pay a lot more than that. So it's tashma. Midika Amar Rav Yekiva Filo Ananiim Shibi Yisrael Rono Son Kilu Bnei Chorin Shiardu Minech Sehem Shem Bnei Avram Yitzhak V'Yakov Shma Minah Tana Kama Lekula Kamar Shma Minah. He says, the Gemara says, because of the way Rav Yekiva argued, definitely the Tana Kama was talking about an usher. Okay, you could do that yourself, or we could just read the Rashi and he'll explain how the logic goes. So Rashi says, Midika Amar Rav Yekiva Filo Ananiim. V'chazina de lo chayev l'seis l'parea rosh ha'isha ela arba meos dozus katana kama. So we see that what Rav Yekiva was arguing was that you should have to pay 400 zuz just like the Tana Kama. That's how much he was saying you should pay. Shma minah Tana Kama l'kula kamar. De la'ani lo yavina kulihai. So he was saying, what the Tana Kama must have been saying was that you should pay something less than 400. And this lady was poor, and the Tana Kama was saying you pay something less than 400 to a poor person. But Kamarli Rav Akiva la'ani nami yavinan hachi. And Rav Akiva says, no, you have to pay exactly the 400 because they're regular people too. And then umaisa ba'echad shepar rosh ha'isha ania. So Rashi adds that. So the Mishnah doesn't say rosh ha'isha ania, but Rashi adds that had to be otherwise you wouldn't bring the case of Rav Akiva. It doesn't prove anything except it creates some problems. Later on when he gives his oracular answer. But in terms of bring Rav Yekiva, Maisa Rav Yekiva, the Maisa is there to show you that it's Lekula, and it says, hey, we have to pay everybody the same. This woman needs to get 400 zuz. And since she's an Aniyah, if he's arguing for 400 zuz, this must have been Lekula Ka'amar. If you wanted to say this was a floor effect, and really it's 400 for the aneum, everybody else gets more. Vakol fi kvoda l'chumr kamar l'metev tfei la'ashirim v'kasi rev akiva l'meimar filo ani shibir shol yitol yosir me'arba me'azuz. Amayim lo machayev le l'paro isha l'metev tfei. He would have had to say, listen, she should also get more than 400. So he's not saying she should get more than 400. He's saying she should get exactly 400. So he's trying to reach the ceiling. He's not trying to get off the floor. So therefore, this whole Mishnah must mean lekula ka'amar.
It would also be chumra the other way around, though, assuming you know.
It'd be a what?
Meaning if the ani was one doing the nezek.
Okay, forget that right now, because that begs the problem of the doing the nezek. But so the oddity here is that the Gemara had to bother with that. That's not something that you need a Gemara for. That's something, in other words, the Gemara was never entertaining the possibility that this was lechumra. Because the Gemara is saying that the Rav Akiva came, the fact that Rav Akiva is arguing this way proves there's nothing synthetic in this Gemara. This is pure analytic. Usually the Gemara is synthetic. It's trying to reconcile something to give you some new information. There's no new information here. It's saying if you think about it, this has to be lekula. It's just a strange thing that the Gemara does that. This is something that an Akron could do. I could prove to you that it's lekula, because there's no way he's arguing lechumra. So it's just strange. So there has to be another chiddush. There has to be some way to work out the Mishnah lechumra and still have Rabbi Akiva arguing. We could spend time doing that, but we're not. All right. So then the question is, what is the variable? What's the major, now that we know at least what direction the Mishnah is going, what's the problem? What's missing?
The damager.
The Mevayesh. Right? So the problem with the Mishnah, there's a trespass, there's a violation here. Because the Pei Gimel Amud Beis was explicit. Hakol lefia Mevayesh v'amisvayesh. Hakol. Now we have a Mishnah that gives us fixed values, which is strange because Hakol lefia Mevayesh v'amisvayesh implies that it's some sort of a reconciliation. But I can understand if you have absolute values and you want to tell me what happens when an usher does something to an ani and those are fixed in some way. But here, there's no mention of a Mevayesh. It seems to not matter who the Mevayesh is here. It seems to only matter who the Misvayesh is. And there are these fixed values for the Misvayesh. So whereas the Mishnah on Pei Gimel Amud Beis didn't give any fixed values. It just had Hakol lefia Mevayesh v'amisvayesh. And then you had sugyas about Boshes and Tashlumei Boshes and what were the conditions of Tashlumei Boshes. But nothing about any fixed values. Now you have a Mishnah on Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. Is that where we are? I'm sorry, on Tzadi Amud Aleph, that gives fixed values and only talks about the Misvayesh. So something is wrong. Something doesn't reconcile. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's pretty clear that this is Mishum Boshes. This isn't payment for something else, because that's what Rashi says. So where do these things, how do we reconcile Hakol lefia Mevayesh v'amisvayesh with this? Okay, so that's the problem. That's what the sugya is begging you to be perplexed about. The Mishnah saying comes out, and it's really a dramatic Mishnah, because it just lists these values, gives you this Misa of Rebbe Akiva, forces you to understand that these are fixed and fixed with a graduation lakula, but fixed around the orbit of the Misvayesh, completely agnostic of the Misvayesh. Doesn't explain at all. Rashi doesn't say, oh, and the Misvayesh is an usher, or the Misvayesh doesn't matter. Nobody mentions it. Right? So that forces you to say, how do we reconcile that? All right.
So the sugya kind of begins, the sugya that's available on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. Right, so Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, I hope that's right. Yeah. So it's Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, and it's about exactly halfway down. The Gemara says, "Shlach le Rav Chista le Rav Nachman." Everybody see that?
Down.
Exactly. Shlach is the last word of... Yeah?
Shlach is the last word on the line?
First
line?
One of the words on the line.
I see a shlach.
Good. Shlach Lev Chishe Lev Nachman?
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Hari Amru. Lerchuva Shalosh. Lebi'ita Chamesh. Velisno Keres. Shalosh Esrei. Lepanda Demara. Lekufina Demara Mai. So it's the classic question.
I've heard it a million times.
Huh?
I've heard it a million times.
It's typical party conversation. They're at the water cooler. And Rav Chista says to Rav Nachman, these very Aramaic anatomical, he says, Amru l'chuvah shalosh. So Rashi says, Min haga dayanin, ligvos min ha boet es chavero bar chuvaso shel boet, Shalosh shloim leboshes. Lefisha gadola boshes makas arkuva midachifas hayad. He says...
Kneeing them is worse than slapping them?
Yeah. He says that it's the minig of the dayanim to take when someone, kicks with a knee, I guess knees someone. Shalosh shloim leboshes. So that's three shloim. So that's more than what we had in the Mishnah for the hitting. He says, because there's more boshes for the kneeing. All right? So he says, Lebi'ita. He says, Beregel. Velisno Keres. Now this is the really strange, and this may be the MacGuffin here. He says, Velisno Keres. He says, Ukaf shel chomor shehika boas chavero. He says, it's not your grandmother's snow keres. He says, this is different. He says, this is talking about the saddle of a chomor that you hit someone with. Now, the problem with the Rashi is if you look up what snokeris means, which I'm sure you guys know what it means, I didn't, so I had to look in the alkali, it means a knockout punch. And that's how the Rambam takes it. So if you learn the sugya, you would imagine that these are all, you know, sort of mundane forms of assault, kind of, maybe a little exotic with the kneeing, but then a knockout punch. But Rashi learns it's not a knockout punch at all. It's this other thing that snokeris can mean, maybe just here, which is you take a saddle and hit someone with it. And that's what you pay a lot of money for. So, okay, so that's the standard. So then, the question that Rav Chista had was, what about the panda demara, kufina demara? So this is something far more specific, with the use of a weapon. So the panda demara base yad shel pushir. I think it's a garden tool of some kind. So if you hit someone with the handle of it, or with the kufina, the barzel atzmo etzel hanekev, or the business end of it. So he wants to know, what do you pay in those cases? What's the fixed rate? He said, oh, I know the fixed rate for these things or this. What's the fixed rate for that? So Rashi says, boshes kanasu. What does that mean? Boshes kanasu. Okay. Doesn't really help us that much. So what's the answer, though, to this really strange question? So the answer that Rav Chista gives is chista, which I guess is like sort of dramatic. But he says, poor chista. Kansa kamagvis babavil? Do we take a kanas and babel? We don't collect kanasos and babel. Huh? Well, by mamonis, like, there are certain things that the Beis Din and Babel, so anything that's considered technically a kanas, because they relied on the Beis Din Yerushalayim to collect money for, you know, in all of mamonis. So technically things that are kanas, like I think like kefel, like things that are kanas, they don't collect Chutz La'aretz. So the answer is, this is considered one of those things, which is very strange because...
For all the other cases.
Well, it's strange because it's not a kanas.
It's a pasuk.
It's a pasuk midiraisa, and it's a tashlumin that it's just like the rest of Chamisha Devarim in the Mishnah. So what do you mean now all of a sudden it's a kanas?
What makes something a kanas when it's just tashlumin?
Okay, so we'll do that in a second. That'll be the Tosfos. We'll do it, and it'll take 40 seconds to answer, but just wait until we get to it. So the strange thing is, Rashi says it's a kanas. So, and then he's basically, Rashi is prefiguring the answer that's being given, which is, we don't collect kanasos in Bavel. So then he says, but
Emily Gufa de Uvda Hechi Havi. But he says, well, just tell me what happened and maybe I can help you. And then what happened doesn't matter for us so much. But what matters for us is that why do I think that this is related to our Mishnah and not to the Mishnah of Pei Gimel Amud Beis? Why do I think this is closer to what we were doing and farther away from what we had before? Number one, because it's a fixed value. Okay, and number two, because of Tosos. So Tosos says, Hari Amru, L'Rechuva Shalosh, Yesh Mefarshim de La'ani Shebi Yisrael Kamar. There are those that would say that this is talking about, these are the values for an ani. Aval acherim hakolafia mevayish v'amisvayish. But everybody else, hakolafia mevayish v'amisvayish. Ulari nira, dahainu l'gadol shebi Yisrael. Dumya dahahi dechanan, Dumya dahahi ditnan ba'chovel, staro nosalom ma'asayim zuz. It's exactly like we did in our Mishnah, right? Umuki la lagodol shebi Yisrael. We learned over there it was lakula, and that was talking about lagodol and Asher graduated that way. This clearly is saying that it could be, there's a way to learn that this is also lachumra, exactly like we suspected that the Gemara dismissed.
Why would you say it's lachumra here? Or what's pushing to say it's
lachumra? No, I think Tosfos is just saying there are those, yesh mefarshim de la'ani shebi Yisrael ka'amar, that the whole thing could go the opposite direction.
I mean, there's a whole different din of Aishas than the Mishnah.
Well, what makes it a whole different din is that he says, Aval Acherim, he says, Hakol Afiyam Avayish V'amisvayish, Olari Nira, Dahainu L'Gadol Shebi Yisrael, Dumya Dahahi Ditnan Ba'chovel Staro, like our Mishnah.
That means there's two different systems.
That means that there's two, that what Tosfos is saying is that there are some who would pin this back on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, Hakol Afiyam Avayish V'amisvayish, and there are some that would pin this on our Mishnah and say that this is Gadol Shebi Yisrael and then graduated completely agnostic to the Mevayish. You see, so Tosfos is saying what we said, that there's one way to learn that this is Hakol Afiyam Avayish V'amisvayish, that this sugya which stands liminally between Pei Gimel Amud Beis and Sadi, that this is part of Hakol Afiyam Avayish V'amisvayish, and we just didn't get the details of who the Mevayish and the Misvayish were, but they were someone very specific, and that's how it reconciled like this. And the only question was, what would you do if those were the values? What would happen if this were weaponized? And then that was the question. There are those that say, no, this is exactly the sugya of Tzadi, and this is talking about where we fix this as the Gadol, and then not, and then it's a Kolafi Kvodo.
But Tzadi is definitely talking about.
Zadi's definitely talking about a Kol Afik photo.
Right, the God.
Yes. Tosfos is saying there's two ways to learn this.
And if you learn the first way, you still have to learn Zadi is still cool.
Yeah. Well, this is the weird thing. And as Tosfos starts out saying, Yesh Mefarshim de La'ani Shebi Yisrael Ka'amar. Now, is he saying that you could learn it like Zadi Amud Aleph, but say that these are fixed on a floor instead of... The Mishnah gave us specific cases. It said all those cases were... basically as an usher, and everything else is lakula, hakol lefi kvodo. These are not listed in the Mishnah. So maybe these are talking about what would happen to an ani and they get graduated up. You don't know, because it's not in the Mishnah. Right? It's possible it was telling you the other direction. But either way, it clearly has no mevayish there, except the Tosfos says, aval acherem hakol lefi hamevayish v'amisvayish. Now does he mean acherem besides the aniyim, or does he mean other people would say? Yeah. But clearly, the Re says that...
No, it doesn't have an Aniyim.
Yeah.
Acherim besides the Aniyim. Yeah. So that would be, the Aniyim are the only ones that are fixed, and everybody else are Hakol Afiyam Avayish V'amisvayish. For some reason, the Aniyim are pinned to the system in, like in Sadi, except they're a floor rather than a ceiling, which would be really a third system, kind of. Yeah, but Hakol Afiyam Avayish V'amisvayish reintroduces the Mevayish. And there was no mention of the Mevayish in that other system.
Then isn't it just a more basic question of how we could ever just disregard one of the two parties?
Well, that is the question. But where this little thing fits in that, Where we locate it in that, I guess, is the major question. But let's take it to mean that it's possible that it's located in our world. And the Rambam takes it like that. All right, so let's just do one more Tosfos, because we're going to have to stop soon. So Tosfos says, Kanasa kamagvis babavel. He says, Lav kanasa, eladin kanasa hu. Kida amrinan ba'chovo, delmilsa delesbe chisaran kis, lo avdinan shlichusayhu. It's not really a kanas the way you think of it. It's just that we treat it like a kanas because something where there is no hefsid mamon, the Beis Din didn't have they didn't have the imprimatur in Bavel from Yerushalayim to Paskanon. So therefore, they didn't collect it.
When the suffering party.
When there's no chisaron, no hefsid mamon.
But if I stole something, I have to pay it back.
Yeah, there's hefsid mamon. Yeah, here there's not. So it's euphemistic to say kanas. All right, but the bigger problem, the problem that we didn't...
We said that the Beis Din is a hefsid mamon.
We said pay Gimel Amud Beis is a hefsid mamon. All right, but the bigger problem is really the Rashi, which no one mentioned. I was surprised. Because what does he mean, minhag hadayanan ligvos min aboet? What do you mean, minhag hadayanan?
Well, I assume there's some flexibility left to the dayanan's intuition about where it's having to put the price, and there's sort of a consensus.
Okay, but now he's saying, so now Rashi's saying there's a minhag to take exactly this much. He doesn't say it's a takanas chachamim for the ani. He says it's a minhag that they would take this much.
For the knee kick.
For the knee kick. And it's a minhag they would take that much for something else. So if it's a minhag, it could change. But the Mishnah seems to report these as fixed values. What does he mean, minhag adayanam? They seem to be fixed. This is the value. Hatokeya nos lo sela. What do you mean, minhag adayanam?
I assume it's just standardized guidelines.
I mean, the Mishnah didn't seem to say it like that, because it's a machlokas in the Mishnah. All right. So then you have the question. All right. So let's just, because I alluded to it. So I guess you have to sort of, so you asked before, do all the assumptions of Pei Gimel Amud Beis hold for Tzadi Amud Aleph? And the answer has to be kind of no, because now we've already sort of departed from that, because now we have no Mevayesh. We have fixed values that are be talked about as min hagadayam and not as fixed values, kind of. And then you have this issue of kanas, and we're saying there's no hefsid mamon here. Then what's the tashlumi boshes? Tashlumi boshes isn't talked about as a kanas anywhere. Well, all of a sudden now is this a kanas? And, you know, a couple blot of gemara that was tashlumin for boshes because of the pasuk. So it says kappa, you know, you're going to cut off her hand. Oh, you can't cut off her hand. It's like ayin tachas ayin. You don't gouge out, you know. You pay. So you pay. What do you mean, kanas?
And you don't think that's it? I mean, Tosfos answered that there's just not, it's not a replacement of mamon.
No, but Tosfos is doing more than that. Tosfos, because there's more than one way we're going to see, because it's a machlokas rishonim. The big machlokas rishonim here. Other people say it's not a kanas because it's a katsav, it's a fixed value. Fixed value is not a kanas, is called a kanas also. Where something is a fixed amount of money, that's also called a kanas. So, but Tosfos is pointing you in a direction. Because Tosfos is saying, oh, I know that you've learned for years that Boshes is Hefsid Mamon. No Hefsid Mamon here. So what's the Sugya doing then? All right, so that's Rashi in the Sugya. So then, for next time, there's the Rambam in the Sugya, which is completely different. And then there's the Rif in the Sugya. And there's the Rush in the Sugya. There's the Rif, there's the Rush, there's the Rambam, and there's Rashi and Tosfos. And everybody sort of comes from a different place for this, to reconcile it. Because it's completely unmoored. Okay?